Psalms 37, we'll get started here. The Lord has changed us, and he's brought us a long, long way, a way that we could not have brought ourselves, but he did that for us, and we praise him for that. And so what we want to just look at tonight, just go to the Word of God and see what the Lord says and what the Word says about these things in regards to actions, works, and conversation. Actions, works, and conversations. What does the Lord say about that, and what's the Lord tell us that he has done for us and called us into in it? Okay? So actions, works, and conversation. What we do is how we are known, isn't it? I mean, that's how we're known, by what we do. Okay? And when I'm talking about doing, I'm talking about any motion that we make with our body. As a brother said, in heaven it'll be, hello, hello. You know, me doing this is different than doing this, isn't it? Right? Right? And me doing this is different than doing that, isn't it? By our emotions, we're known. Okay? What we do in our body, and this includes moving our body, our hands, our head, our arms, our legs, etc., and including moving our mouth, right? Right. And James talks to us about that. We move with our mouth. And so when we're talking about what we do, that's what we're talking about, everything. Every motion we make with our body. And you know what? The Bible refers to this motion with one word, and it's called conversation. Conversation. That's a word that the Lord uses to show about our motion, okay? Whether it's motion and movement, motion where we go, motion in what we do, or motion in how we speak, okay? Our conversation. Here in Psalms 37, verse 14, look what it says here. Just a couple contrasting scriptures here to get us started. In Psalms 37, verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow. They've drawn back to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. And so there's one type of conversation, is upright conversation. Turn over to Psalms 50. Turn over to Psalms chapter 50, and we see here another type of conversation and how the Lord distinguishes between them. Psalms 50, verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Okay, offering praise unto the Lord glorifieth me. "And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Okay? And I think we can take that and apply it all the way to repentance all the way well up into service. The Lord will show things. And that conversation is talking about how we move, what we do. I want to give you a side thought here, and just to address this and consider this, and so we have it, and then we're going to get back to the main point of the message. But a side thought is who can discern motive or thought of the heart? Who can do that? Who can discern motive? Who can look and say, that's what's inside there? To know the truth. Who can do that? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Look in Genesis 6:5. You know this passage. Genesis 6:5. Who is it that can discern motive or thought of the heart? Genesis 6:5, what's it say here? "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Okay, so there's someone, if you will, doing that. Job says, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." Who's he speaking to? The Lord. He's saying that of the Lord. He says, "We can't hold back a thought from you, God." In Psalms, the scripture says, the Lord, Psalms 94, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." The Lord, he's the one that can know, isn't he? In Psalms 139, verse 2, the scripture says, "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising." David says, "Thou understandest my thought afar off." Psalms 139, verse 23. Turn over here and take a look at that. Read this. This is a plea of the psalmist. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help me to desire this. Here's what David writing. In Psalms 139, verse 23, dare we say this to the Lord? Search me, O God. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Are we willing to say that to the Lord? Do we want to be that close to the Lord and that much in fellowship with Him that we would yield ourselves to that? Lord, take that and look in me and flush that out of me. Because the Lord can do it. In Proverbs, it says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Just the thinking of the wicked is such. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. He likes those. In Proverbs, it goes on to say, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit what we do. Lord, is this what you want me to do? Lord, is this what you want me to say? Lord, we're going to pursue this and bless it if it's your will and shut it down if it's not. Commit thy works unto the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. We need Him to work, don't we? And He shall direct our paths, thy paths, the Scripture says. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, because the Lord will be in there working on them. Ecclesiastes 10, turn over here to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Again, this is a side thought about who can know motive and thought of the heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Says here in verse 20, curse not the king, know not in thy thought. We as citizens of the U.S. would put president there. Curse not the president, know not in thy thought. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. You know, the Lord knows what we're thinking. And He says that we need to pray for our rulers. In Isaiah, the Lord says here, I have spread out my hands all the day into a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. The Lord saw the way that they went, that Israel went, and He says, you know what? Lines right up with the way they're thinking, because the Lord can see it, can't He? The Lord can see it. Isaiah 66, verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts, the Lord says. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. So who is it that can discern and go look into the heart and look into a person and discern motive and thought? It's only the Lord, isn't it? You know, it's only the Lord that can look in there and know the truth. We present things. But it's only the Lord that can look into that soul and that heart and know the truth. And the thing is, Brother Jim, what's the point? We need to realize that. That it really doesn't matter if others can or can't. The Lord can. Because even in the secretness of our hearts, in the secretness of our soul, God is there watching. And He knows and He sees. And it's evident and apparent to Him. You know, but the Lord has created us so the result of motive can be seen. Would you agree with that? The Lord's created us so the result of motive can be seen. We can't know the motive directly, but we can see results of it, can't we? We're a creature that's created that we work from the inside out. We work from the inside out, okay? And the Scripture tells us about that. Proverbs chapter 4, take a look over here. We got a lot of Scriptures, and I'll read some of them and turn over to some of them. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, here's what the Lord says here, and using the Solomon to write it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence guarding. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Be busy about it. For out of it, out of that heart, are the issues of life. The doing in life comes from the heart, comes from within. That's how we're built. That's how we're made. And so even though motive can only be known and thought can only be known by the Lord, because of the way we're made, what's inside comes out. It does. The Lord says it right there, doesn't he? Take a look over in Matthew 15. The Lord Jesus Christ even speaks to it here as he's preaching and teaching the people. In Matthew 15, Matthew 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "Are you yet also without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth and goeth into the belly is cast out into the draught? It's not what we eat that sets us back, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." They defile us. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Notice how it says that. Out of the heart comes the thinking. It hadn't got outside yet, has it? But the seed in the beginning, the spawning of the deed, starts with the thought. "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, lying," which is lying, "blasphemies, blaspheming the word of God. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat without washing your hands, that doesn't defile you. It's what's inside. And it's yielded out in how we move, even with our mouths." What reveals that which is within? Well, I want to read this scripture first, and just relative to that last point, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 6. Take a look over here. The Lord puts it together for us. Luke chapter 6, verse number 39. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. "And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master." That's what we're to be. We're to seek and desire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ in every whit, in every way. That is should be our lifelong ambition, is to be like Christ till we die. From the time the Lord saved us, to be like him. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite." Brother Chad mentioned it this other night. "Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to help your brother out." That's what it says. We got to take care of home, okay? Because we can't be a help, and we surely don't want to be a hypocrite. And he goes on to make another comparison here. "For a good tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree that is known by his own fruit." Like trees are known by the fruit, you know, an apple and a pear and a peach and such. So are people known by their conversation. Their conversation. We are known by our conversation. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. But a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. You see where it started? In the heart. In the heart. The treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. This is Lord Jesus Christ speaking. For of the abundance of the heart, listen to what it says, his mouth speaketh. So not only the doing, but the speaking. What is it that reveals that which was within? Is there something that exists that takes us and pushes and presses upon people, that goes ahead and squeezes out? Again, we can't look in there as individuals, as people. We can't look in there and see motive and thought. To look on it and say, That's your motive before anything's done. That's your thought before anything's done. But is there anything, and the Lord's the only one that can do that. But is there anything that exists on this earth that can go to and confront a person and deal with a person and get down in the heart and get down in there and squeeze and poke and prod in the heart and reveal it? Is there anything? Hebrews 4:12. Yeah, there is. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. It means it's alive. Amen. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It gets down there amongst you where you put together. That's what it does to us. And of the joints and marrow. And the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So yes, there is the word of God that can come and confront us and squeeze us and touch us and meddle, if you will, with us so that it'll show what's on the inside. It'll reveal it when the word of God comes. Well, Brother Jim, what are you talking about? Take a look over here in Acts. Look at this reaction to the word of God. Acts chapter 5. And see, and this is why it's so very important as we operate as the children of the Lord, as we operate in our families, as we operate as a church, that we do it based on not our feelings or what we put together or the philosophy of the world or anything, but we do it based on what God's word says. Because that's going to be what we're going to be judged by, if you will, and saved and lost by the word of God. That's what we're going to be judged by what God said. My service as a child of God is going to be judged by the Lord, by the instruction that he has given me as his child. And you know, there at the great white throne judgment, the books are going to be opened, aren't they? And the damned are going to be judged by their works. That's all they have. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to be judged out of those things written in the books, right? That's the way it is. Look at this reaction here to the preaching of the Word of God. We know the apostles are here. You're familiar with that. They're brought before the Sanhedrin. And look in Acts chapter 5, verse 33. When they heard that, the testimony, the witness, the word of God, the standing for the word, the witness that the apostles were to do, you know what it says there, and you can read it if you don't. When they heard that, this witness of these apostles, they were cut to the heart. What's it say? Cut to the heart. That old word of God and the testimony of the Lord's men, it got up there close to them and it squeezed them so. It got down in there, that sharp two-edged sword, and it made it pop out, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And when they were cut to the heart, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to kill them. It cut them so. In chapter 7, we see another response here to the stand that the Lord's apostles took. And here the preaching of Stephen. Rather, in verse number 54 of chapter 7, Acts 7. And when they heard these things, what's Stephen been doing? He's been preaching out of the Word of God. He just rehearsed the Old Testament scriptures and brought it to a point of showing them that Christ is the fulfillment of it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they so much so they gnashed on him with their teeth. They gritted and ground their teeth at him. They were so vehement towards him. Why? Because he took the word of God and put it there together for them to show them that Christ is the answer to it all. And they would not have it. And so there is that on the earth that does reveal what's within us, and it is the word of God. And so can we look in there in a person and discern motive or thought of the heart? No, we can't know it directly. Only the Lord can do that. But the Word of God does stand here And the Word of God is present with us. And the way in that He's created us, that which is on the inside comes out. It does. Okay? So now, back to the main thought. Conversation. Our conversation, how we move in our body in every whit. My conversation, your conversation, the movement of our bodies, the moving of our mouth. You know, it was wicked and against God before the Lord saved us. You know, it was. It was. The Scripture testifies to it. Turn over to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look what the Scripture says. Before we were saved, our conversation was wicked and against God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. Our conversation is there, and it was previously in the world. Okay? But now, it's been changed. We're going to look at that. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. Apostle says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." Our conversation, what we did and what we pursued, it may have been in false religion. "How beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." And Paul grieved over that. And that was his previous conversation, the way that he moved. Ephesians chapter 2. It was our conversation before we were saved was wicked before God. Ephesians chapter 2. You're familiar with this. "Among whom also," verse number 3, Ephesians 2, 3, "among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Our conversation was wicked before the Lord saved us. Our movement was wicked before the Lord. It was after false religion. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers." Sometimes our conversation may have been after the practice of our daddies. Then it was empty if it was after the way of the world. Wasn't after the way of the Lord. Our conversation was vain. It was empty. In 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 7. Here, the Scripture talks about Lot. And the apostle refers as delivered just Lot, justified Lot. He was saved. "Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." That conversation was filthy before the Lord. It could have been after false religion. It was empty. It was vain. It was against God. And it was the way that we moved in every whit. That's the reason the Scripture talks about the plowing of the wicked as sin. Because it's a conversation not after God, because God's not on the inside. Salvation is not there. And the man is going to do what he does for the wrong reason, for himself, rather than for the Lord. Conversation. We that have been saved, we're called to an opposite conversation than what we had in the past, aren't we? We're not called to that same wicked conversation, that same vain conversation, that same conversation that may have been after the way of our fathers. But we're called out to a different conversation, aren't we? A different way of life. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians Here's what we're called to. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That ye put off, Ephesians 4, 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's what that old conversation came from the old man. Put that off. Get rid of that. By being saved, we are able to do so because of the Spirit of God living within. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And when the Scripture talks about the mind, talks about the soul, talks about the heart, it's talking about the same thing. Okay? It's talking about who we are. I'm Jim. And I'm in this body. But in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, as we talk about the brain, we understand about the brain. But who you are is that seat of the emotion, that place, the spirit, if you will, the heart, the soul, the mind. So put off that old thing, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness, and what's it say? True holiness. We're to have a righteous and holy conversation, aren't we? And so sometimes those words, we get afraid of those words, but we don't need to let those that have taken those words and used them wrong rob us, because we are to be a righteous people. We are to be a holy people, set apart from the Lord. The Lord says, I'm holy, and so you be holy, he says to us. And we need to do that. We need to be holy. How can righteousness and true holiness be known and understood as we go, as we walk in this world? How can righteousness and true holiness be known and understood? Well, it's by our actions, isn't it? If I just stand here, you don't know anything about me if I just don't move. And in this life, we have to move, don't we? In this life, we do have to go and move. And how we go and how we move and how we speak, that's how we're known. And so how is it that this righteousness and holiness that we see here in Ephesians 4 can be understood by those around us, by the world? It's by our actions. It's by our conversation. Proverbs 30, verse 32, it says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. That's right conversation. Because don't let it get out. Stop it. Stop that old stuff from that old man, because we are shackled with this old man. But if that evil thought and that wicked way, I need to get it stopped before it's manifested in my conversation. Philippians chapter 1. Take a look over here. We're close. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Our conversation is to be associated with the gospel of Christ. We're to be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he saved us and how others that are around us need him to save them and how their need is great and their sin is great. Our conversation, what we say, what we do, needs to be representative of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that old message that we had before, me, me, me. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. There's that conversation, isn't it? That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what our church is to be about. And have a right, righteous, holy conversation before God as individual children and members of this church and to collectively together as his church. Our conversation is to represent the gospel of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Our way of life, our moving, is that should represent our looking forward to that blessed hope, as was talked about earlier. And telling and showing it. Being happy about it. Amen? What a blessing we have. My conversation, I know we can't be happy all the time with things that come upon us, but we can have the joy of the Lord all the time. And this means one thing, doesn't it? And this means another, doesn't it? That's the way it works. That's our conversation. Our manifestation to the world. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle writes to Timothy and says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in the way you move, Timothy, and how way you move, what you do, how you walk, how you speak, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." In Hebrews 13, take a look over here. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness." It's always, am I always grabbing, talking about that thing that I don't have that I want? Is that what it's always the next thing, the next thing, the next thing? "Let our conversation, the way we move, the way we speak, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." Because if we have the Lord, if we're saved, we've got the greatest one that we could ever have. "For he saith, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. That's carried me and my wife a long way through our marriage. And the things that the Lord impressed upon us and impressed us the way we were going to have our lives together and what we wanted, what we needed, and our children, what was important to us. I don't say that. I just say that as just the fact that because if we had the Lord, it didn't matter so much about the stuff. If we had the Lord, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If we've got the Lord, we've got everything and everyone, don't we? James chapter 3. "Who is a wise man?" Verse number 13. James 3, 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." The Lord's shown you a thing. Just be thankful for it. Be a good representative and witness of it. And when the opportunity is there, help your brother and sister in Christ about that thing, if you can. In meekness and wisdom. Being thankful for the blessing of the Lord. Being thankful if the Lord imparts wisdom unto us, we as his children, we should be looking for wisdom, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, the wisdom and understanding of the Lord. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you from the Lord? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Well, you know, the Word of God says that we probably shouldn't do that because this Scripture says this. You know, we probably ought to do this because the Lord says in his Word this. That's what that's talking about. Wisdom from the Lord in his word. And taking that and being able to apply it to life. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in most manner of conversation." It says all, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, all. "In all manner of our walk, of our emotion. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Lord says that. Chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12. Having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers for your, because of your stand for the word, so much the apostle was blamed and the apostles were blamed, the people of God were blamed to be rebel rousers and stirrers. They were the problem. They were the causer of the offense. They were the reason that things were messed up. They're the reason that shrine sales to Diana fell off. They were the problem. They weren't the problem, were they? They were the witness to the truth. They carried the message of salvation. So when folks being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ would leave this life, they wouldn't go into a devil's hell for eternity. But had the representation and the witness that the Lord Jesus Christ can save sinners, even if they're Goddess Diana worshipers. Amen? Honest among the Gentiles. Our conversation should always be honest. Whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, that good conversation, they shall behold glorified God in the day of visitation. I praise God for that saint that came and witnessed to me at work and lived that godly life around me at work, invited me to go to church, and even pulled up beside me and would ask me about scriptures and give me scriptures to read and was a witness to me. In the day of visitation, they'll be glad, won't they? Amen. And that witness from the Lord through that person will be a blessing. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. There's an order in the home, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Got a marriage where the husband's not saved? Wife, go ahead and submit to him. And everything that's right and everything that's not sinful, I believe. And that conversation, that way of life, Marie and Orville Lawson, they were here this Sunday with us, visited with us. They're an example of that. She was saved first. She was saved first. We've got those examples in our own church. He said, this woman has lost her mind. She was his partying buddy. she was his drinking buddy. But when the Lord saved her soul, she had a conversation that represented Christ, and it disturbed Orville in time. He'll tell you that. By the way we move, by the way we speak. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. A testimony and a witness that just can't be, it's not that it won't necessarily be opposed vehemently, but can't take the word of God and say that it's wrong. Can't take that which is true eternally and say that it's not right, because it's in Christ and it's founded on Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all that we know of this earth and this universe, the Lord's going to make it all new, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The way we move in every whit, we're called into a different conversation. In conclusion, Isaiah 55, you that are not saved, Jesus Christ is the one that saves. You're faking a good conversation. It won't last. Okay, so don't go there. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. But listen to what the Lord says here in Isaiah 55, verse 7. And consider it. Let's back up to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Because when you die, he won't be near anymore. Here? You're here tonight not saved? When you die, the Lord won't be near like it's speaking about here. He won't be. Won't be. But now that you're under the hearing and preaching of God's word, you've got witnesses around you that pray for you and care for your soul. You hear the word of God showing you that you're a sinner, that you're guilty before God, that you need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him, trust him to save your soul. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because those thoughts lead to a conversation that's wicked before God. So bail out on that. And what's it going to say? And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And he'll save your soul. You repent of your sins. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that when he came and lived and suffered, bled and died, was buried and rose again, that he did it for you, because you're the sinner that needs a saving. And he'll give you a new conversation, because his spirit will dwell within. Amen. For we that are saved, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, right there at the end of the Old Testament. Now I want you to listen to this. Verse number 16. This verse, I enjoy this verse. This verse, it tells us about the touch of the Lord and the salvation of the Lord and how it's manifested outwardly in a right, true, holy, godly way. Listen to what it says. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, Lord this, the word of God this, the Lord that. Isn't God good? Isn't it great that the Lord saved our souls? Isn't it good that the Lord has opened our eyes with his word and showed us the truth? Not that we found the truth, but he brought it to us. It talked about the goodness of the Lord. Look how the Lord's blessed us. Look how the Lord's provided for us. Look how the Lord's blessed our church. Look at how the Lord has saved sinners and added them to us. Look at how the Lord has blessed us together. Look at how the Lord has healed and preserved and watched, cared over, and protected. Look at how the Lord has done. They talked one to another. Their conversation. They're moving. Even with their mouth. It was because of the Lord. Then they that feared the Lord inside. It's coming from the heart. Coming from that saved soul. Spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened. He heard those prayers. He moved. He worked. And heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before the Lord, before him. A book of remembrance. The Lord said to somebody there in heaven, write that down. I like that conversation. I like that talk. I like that fellowship amongst my children. Write that down. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. And listen, and that thought upon his name. Because the thinking and what was on the inside, it led to an outward manifestation, didn't it? Their conversation. That led to that. because we've been saved by the Lord, may our conversation be that the Lord would be pleased with, because it comes from His Spirit within. Actions, works, conversation. If you're here tonight not saved, repent of your sins and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and saved, walk with the Lord. Serve the Lord. Follow the Lord. Be conscious that your conversation is being a witness to those that are around you in one way or another. May it be a good witness. Amen. May it be a right witness. Amen. And may the Lord help us and bless us in it.